producer. We need to make sure you speak into the mic.
Services, and off to my right is Director John Dunn from Environmental Services. Off to my left is Jim Carlson, who's the Chair of the Clean Water Commission. And Greg Schaefer, Vice Chair. And Highlander, who's part of the Commission as well. These are the people who are available today to help us with questions and comments.
Not as well as we're at it.
Thanks for having us here to review our annual report for 2013. The report is fairly brief, and thank you, Mr. Benton, for pointing out we did have an error in there. Okay, and we will fix that at our next clean water meeting. Regarding watershed systems.
Thank you.
Take care of that for you. So it reflects watershed stewards today still exist. So, you know, like I said, it's pretty short, pretty sweet. You know, when you go over the executive summary on, you know, what it talks about is the budget cycle on there, the new MPDS permit coming into effect. You know, it's pretty basic. We had representatives at the technical advisory group and the stakeholders advisory group for the stormwater manual update. So we had input on that. That's good work from the county staff. That really took place basically in 2014. That's been a long, ongoing process, so we had involved in there. There's been a little bit of a change in the makeup of our commission, so there's a lot of people who have a lot of new commissioners, which is great. Got new input coming on board, so they're still coming up to speed. Maybe. We got a full house, as it says right now. You know, obviously we've talked now that a lot of the funding issues have been resolved with the change of the rates and stuff like that. However, there was quite a bit of discussion about funding last year because, you know, it's this glaring red flashing light that, you know, our expenditures are here and our funding is here and these lines are going to cross and somewhere we've got to get money. Resolved and getting money from the general fund of road fund, and that's all been resolved, thankfully. And so we're moving past that point. Now, the funding will continue to be an issue on this. The stormwater will not become less complex, it will become more complex. Stormwater, in my opinion, is going to be a big piece of the comprehensive road plan upgrades. can't ask questions. I would wish you would ask questions because I don't want to do all the talking. I wish you were aware that we were talking. Yes. Which study is this? Okay, so there lies, you know, sometimes when we run into a little bit of an issue on, we haven't been asked to participate in studying the meetings. And I can make a recommendation directly to the Board of Commissioners that it would be advantageous to have, you know, our little brain trust of Clean Water Commission people to independently study and participate in those type of things. You're more likely going to get some other ideas because we're kind of outside of the box, so to speak, of what you work with, when you work directly with staff and things like that. So if we came up with 10 ideas and one of them was a great one, you wouldn't want to miss out on that, would you? So I think that's important on increasing our dialogue between the Board of County Commissioners and the Clean Water Commission. Back on that, I did take this there. So when you mentioned the concern about charging polluters with polluting, on the other hand, what people who are not polluting are putting up the bill. And I'm always hearing that there's 200,000 of them and they're doing several years polluting. So I see where they're coming from. Personally, I'm the same way. I'm a leader. I accept to pay for my pollution or take care of my pollution one or the other. On the other hand, if I'm not the leader, I don't want to be the leader. So that's my first book. Kind of what I've heard.
Not saying it is, but.
So, you know, I think that's, you know, those are would be important to get those people down directly to talk with us so we can, you know, we can evaluate, you know, what they have to say on that, in that data. You know, I would venture to say that, you know, one of the biggest things that creates a lot of pollution is, you know, our road system and things like that. That's a lot of stuff that runs into that. We all use roads. So, granted that they do have a lot of area that is a receiving area for water and can filter the water, and I look at it the same way. I live on 7.5 acres. I receive a lot of water, okay, and I filter it for you guys. So maybe I should help me. No, well, I don't know. You might be living uphill for me. So, those are definitely challenges, and I think those voices need to be heard. You're not going to be able to please everybody who's involved with this. And, you know, the rate at what they're paying, which I'm not sure, I understand that it's an issue. We need to peel the onion, so to speak, and find out what the core issues are with that and find ways to possibly to appease them or find, you know, a solution for them.
Talk in the microphone, please.
Bring that microphone right on down.
We're recording all of our conversations, and it goes on the grid. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
We want you. Your voice counts.
Yeah.
I've been in the room for 25 years. And I'm not very interested.
Chime in a little bit, Mr. Chairman. The fee, the board took action, I believe it was June 9th, just a few weeks ago. There has not been a Clean Water Commission meeting since that action. The next meeting is scheduled here, I think, in a week or two. And I've asked staff to add to their agenda the topic of the study. So I fully intend to engage the commission. And the commission is at full strength now. All members, from what I can tell, I've been to, I think, every meeting since I've been director. They're operating at a full level, and every member seems to be fully engaged in the issues. And so I agree with Jim. I think it's a valuable brain trust for the commission as an advisory board to you. And it's valuable for me as a director also to have their advice. And so I intend to engage them in every action going forward that relates to clean water, because I think their input is important, so that we're not making decisions in a vacuum. So we're going to bring that to them. They're going to be engaged in that, and we're going to hear what they have to say about it, I'm sure, at several ensuing meetings.
Good morning, Commissioner. I was before you in a hearing, and I want to thank you for approving this increase in the fees. That was a long time in coming, and we've been struggling with prior commissions to get this done, and it's been unsuccessful until now. I was the lone dissenting vote because of the fee being tied to the newspapers, and then to the newspapers being tied to the Farm Forestry Association. I'm the furthermost northern commissioner here. I've been here since before we were established. So many of my friends and family and acquaintances know me as such, and they do not hesitate to pick up the phone and talk to me about this. And I had many conversations with hardworking farm forestry families when this fee was proposed. They were outraged. They were telling me that this is their income. It's a renewable resource, and it was not right to tie the farm forestry families to this fee, which is half. Now I'm talking about the polluter's fee.
I don't know who makes that connection.
The polluter's fee was tied to the forestry of cutting of trees.
It
was written up as such in the whereases, as its connection, as the nexus to being, and they took offense at that. They're very vocal to me about that it's a renewable resource and they were meant to be cut. So I got plenty of conversation about this. And those folks for years have said that the property owners shouldn't have to pay a fee because they help with the problem. That all water that falls on their property is stays on their property and is cleansed. that I go back and tell them that we all use the town road, and thus there lies our predicament. We had to have some mechanism that was very efficient to pay the fees, really, in the name of cleaning the road. And this is what we came up with 15 years ago. And I agree with them. I said, sure. Logical solution. I don't know how we do it, but and then 15 years ago we had that exhibit E that came out that said, directed us what the public wanted. My concern, well, it's what's gone on over the last couple of months, is that all the recommendations came from town staff, and we didn't have any chance really for public input. Not one person I knew of the imposition coming down from DOE that drove that fee. Going back to the pre-settlement conditions of Clark County, relating to the how quickly the water drained, we thought that was just amazing. So that's why I had to support that lawsuit. That one, you know, not one citizen I knew supported that. Right.
Here's it.
Yeah. Ever since the mid-30s, you know, when we started... am I butting out?
Yeah, you're good. Cool.
We started charging the people inevitably of the cities higher electrical rates so that we could pay for the rural electrification. And since then we've had many, many instances, and I believe the stormwater is one of them, where we have a greater good in, you know, spreading the costs out. And it's just, I mean, we've done that in almost everything. Elderly people or people whose kids are grown and gone, you know, have to pay for public schools. Even if they have their children in a private school. So, you know, we talked about this when we had our board meeting where we ratified, you know, the proposal to be sent up to you folks to act on. And there was a lot of discussion, but by and large, members thought it was fair, and we voted it by an overwhelming vote. Susan talked about, you know, there was only one dissent of vote to pass it. And the fact is that even if there's only seven polluters, all seven cannot bear the costs of the cleanup and continued maintenance on that, you know, without spreading that around to make sure that we have a good, clean, and healthy environment. One of the things that I did want to share that I thought was a brilliant suggestion by one of the candidates for the commissioners was that we have a 20-year growth plan. Why can't we have a 20-year water management seawater plan?
Between the amount of traffic that goes and the relationship with stormwater polluting. It's plastic bags. It's not the biggest thing, I don't think. It's plastic bags. That's what you said. I drive down the road, but just like you do. What do I see in there? It's styrofoam cups. And you see the lid of the straw that's got in it, right? Cigarette packages. That's the garbage you see back here. Paper sacks, but it's again the little floating plastic bags go out every day. That would be great for to work on some of those ideas. Public outreach. There is a out and be free to explain to the Clean Water Commission about and the Clean Water Program is about. And that's where we also glean information from talking from the Rockland Watershed Stewards Committee, the change of the Watershed Stewards Association, the Watershed Stewards Association, correct, make a motion on that commission. Make a change to the annual report to reflect what the reason is. Anyway, when we met with different business organizations and all sorts of things, that's where we pull our information from. We take that information back to me, share that in there, and consider just a lot of dialogue we kind of evaluate what it is. Motions or recommendations and demos from the board and commissioners on things that we hear out there. So I'm going to move down. I already talked about the head involvement in the SAC attack as far as PBS so future actions for 2014, that kind of the first point, bullet point on there, talks about what you were talking about there, Commissioner Mulkey. Explore options to fund the clean water program, and one of those options is looking at what the polluters are and who's creating the majority of the problem, and hopefully come up with some recommendations to the Board of County Commissioners on that. The other thing, this is the project that started last year. State boundaries, and I'll take the highway going into Battleground, all right? And I'll take Battleground, and then I'll take the county, all right? And we'll throw some institutions in there, like maybe a few schools that set in these borders in there. This is where we have to strategically partner to make a system that is functional, all right, so we can handle the growth and development of stormwater. And one of the reasons that this came to my attention at the time. I was at one of the Board of County Commission meetings, and it's killing it, but it's Three Creeks development group. So, anyway, Three Creeks, they're called Three Creeks development. It's mass killing. So, on 15th Avenue, we own a bunch of properties there for development. I actually testified. And their land use, Steve Hornstrom's land use attorney, they were reserving trips because, you're going to run out of trips out there. So they're going to grab 600 trips because they need those trips. And what happens is it has to be developed later and they pay for a lot of infrastructure improvements on roads. That's what we're doing. So that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the scope on the scale. But what we talked about was building a regional facility. You only build a facility big as your development needs to be. He's not talking building regional. He's talking building one business facility. When you drive down the roads all the time, what do you see? You see a stormwater facility, a stormwater facility, a stormwater facility. So, well, you can drive down any road and you'll see repetitive stormwater. We build our own for our roads. The developer will build his own individual ones, so you've got them dotted all over the place, right? So at some time, there's going to be economy in collaboration and partnering between multiple agencies where we go out and build more of a regional type of system where it makes sense. And it's kind of easy to look at. You look at the topography, right? Water flows downhill. That's one thing that we do all understand. You may not know who pollutes it again, too. So it's about creating these partnerships. We would be about the beginning of this process, which is identifying our capability. So we as a commission would go out and be the state.
Parks.
And how do you sit there and build that? And we can find out what the barriers are. That's all we're looking at. It's about the work because of talked about this when I came in and we had a brief meeting about it, you know, and the idea is really appealing if we could, come up with something, maybe it does have a few square footage of stormwater. You go to the city of Spokane, the county of Spokane, you can look at an old waste treatment facility that was turned into a huge stormwater facility with all sorts of trails on it. But we don't have any way today to partner. And, when I did some work for the Cherry Grove Church, I did their gravel parking lot out there, and I was talking to the guy from the state. So they built a stormwater facility behind the Cherry Grove Church, and there's also some black and stuff there. But we can't communicate with the county, you know. So that's development area. There's development area in that general vicinity, which is inside the urban growth boundary, I'm sure, for the city of Battleground. Where you're going to end up building one on the other side of the road, too. That's development out there. We've got to get away from that that independent type of thinking and get more into a collaborative process of thinking of stormwater. Right. Well, that's a barrier there, isn't it? I mean, that's part of what the problem is. And the Vancouver School District was actually a really good example of another issue. They overbuilt a stormwater facility system in there where other people were supposedly going to be able to connect to it. Okay, and somehow the developer agreements were lost, not in place. I don't remember the whole story on it, but it's kind of a sore subject when they spent extra bucks on their infrastructure, which could support other uses or other connections. They tried to partner up, but there was some loss in connectivity between the partners over time. The bond was broke. The connectivity, being able to make the partnership work with development agreements, there was nothing in place to hold that together and make that come to fruition on having that overbuilt system, or the system that was designed to make a little money on some connections for somebody else. But if you think about it, then there's stormwater. Take a look at it. What a great barrier it would be. Not a barrier, but separation between different types of zoning that are maybe not perfectly compliant next to another. When you jump up to from an R75 into a commercial area, that's a great that little dividing area between those two zones is a great area to handle certain types of stormwater.
it's a buffer. So there's lots of opportunity on that. Anyway, that's something that we plan on working on. What can we do to improve ourselves and make our increased value to the county commissioners? Partnership on into their stormwater facility, do you? Personally, that's part of what my point is on it, is that when you build a facility, with, you know, so us, the taxpayer, is paying to build that facility, that we're going to pay to build for a road, not a development. We're going to build one for our road improvement out there, if there was one. All right? So now we paid for two of them. Well, I say we could build one better one cheaper. Okay? For less money.
Talk about connective trail, park, school. When the rains come, a good example I always look at is that one just south of the main street that passed around the side of the street. The nice flat park. End up in the park because they're mowing. And when the rain comes, it will fill up. And when the rain stops, it dries up. So people can go on to the park. Kind of an example of what you're doing.
That's where you get into the multi-purpose type of thing. You know, you let your mind go wild on it, and you drive down and you see a cell phone tower sitting there. Why couldn't there be a stormwater? Why can't you utilize? That's the thing, is utilizing the correct spots of land, regardless of who owns it, whether it be county, state, or even private in there. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who may live inside the urban growth boundary who have some property, who would like to stay on their property, who would be more than happy to sit there and get a lease on their land or for a stormwater facility for some long-term income on it. And there would be some neighboring developable property who would love to be able to use that land for some stormwater facilities so we could get the maximum build out in the area. So we create the proper densities that we're trying to achieve and don't have to use, you know, all these individual pots. We're still going to be using them. That's not going to go away. But we have to, when you drive down the road, you see 50 or 60 of them built. Just to move in and move out of the equipment is a lot of money. Okay. Once I move my equipment in someplace, it's there. All right? If I build it three times as big, it's probably not going to cost three times as much. But that becomes, this is part of the system part of it. You know, you've got to have, there is some infrastructure that goes into it. There's some GIS mapping, and then you can look at the wetland inventories right now, and you can look at the proper areas. You have the available data for the most part. You know what the soils are. You're gonna have to go out and do a walk around it and have a biologist out there. But you know where the areas are just by looking at the mapping data. Where these spots, ideal spots, would be. Hey, this one looks good. What's the burning problem?
Soil not accept water coming in. So please, that spot is a big spot or a little spot. There's a lot of purpose that's going on.
Steve, right now is Development Engineering Advisory Board is looking into the zoning, the mapping, those portions of each property that are set aside for development. And that is a component we want to be able to somehow address when it comes to the 2016 comp plan update. So I would encourage you, you've got a lot of good ideas. And when it comes to the types of soils, that's what particular, that is one area that they are focusing on right now. And it sounds like it would be a good opportunity for this commission to brainstorm with them so that that ends up translating to recommended zone, or recommended mapping areas, or something that would help us to translate that to a policy that would provide the solutions to the opportunities that are here. So I encourage that conversation because that's going on right now. We don't want to miss that opportunity. I also want to just express appreciation to the volunteer hours, that you care enough to be able to participate in this process and to contribute your ideas, the brain trust that's here, the collaboration that's here, the autonomy that this commission needs to enjoy so that nobody's driving this commission. All of it, you're free to explore all the different ideas. And Gary, you said something, and I want to be able to respond in a good way to that. You mentioned that there was only one dissenting voice. And that says you've got good solid direction in one area, but I also want to make sure that we welcome and we give, that we cherish that dissenting voice as well. Because the minority report, I look at that as just as important as the majority report. Value that dissent, value that diversity that you have. Not that one trumps the other, but that we understand that the process that explores all these different ideas, or it's out there and it's in the open and it's voiced. That's a very good thing. I also look at the value of all the different advisory boards and make sure that it's not just simply conversations equivalent just to building a boat in your basement that we never launch. If it's just discussions and reports, then it's of no value whatsoever. The only value that comes out of this is what do we do about it? How do we respond? What difference does that make when it comes to informing us in a way that we change our course, that we incorporate the ideas that you come forward with? We provided a grid to all the different advisory boards, and I hope you're taking advantage of it, because that's your voice. That's your voice to us commissioners. That's your voice to the staff. And just like when we have our commission, our VOCC meetings, I don't want people to feel like they're talking to a wall. I want to make sure that there's a two-way conversation, that you know you've been heard, and that somehow there's some kind of response that says, you've been heard. The problems that you point out, solutions that you potentially suggest, they're considered and responded to. So I would like to be able to see our DES staff provide a response that would indicate to you you've been heard, and the points that you brought forward are addressed. Certainly next report or the next meeting that we have for that will address the error that's in the current report. That would basically, if we leave it like it is, we would misinform the public and they would think that the watershed stewards has been disbanded and that's the way it's going to rest until the next meeting. We can't leave it like that. We need to make sure that there is a timely, informative response, a state of the DES report that says you've been heard, and here's what we're doing about it. I also look and see the new leadership that's really provided brand new lifeblood to this board. And that new leadership is, if this is 2013, well, we're in 2014, we're halfway through it. I would love to be able to see the update and say, what are you guys doing about your previous reports? What's changed? We've addressed a number of these problems, and maybe there's some still to address. So, in response, I would say, I value your input. Your input is valuable not only to the commission here, but it's valuable to the staff and to the staff leadership. And by all means, we ought to we value that. And I want to make sure that DES has the opportunity to respond to you and to the citizens that says this makes a difference.
Chairman, you know, the first comments were made up about our environmental director giving his report about the 7 polluters. And I kind of have to agree with Tom a little bit, maybe not reinvent the wheel, but I think that maybe you folks should maybe get that evaluation, look and see just exactly what they did, and maybe what you would do differently than what they did in their report or how they contacted those folks. I would think that would be very appropriate for you folks to do that. The other thing that there's all different kinds of people. There's chemical polluters, the landscaping people. If you drive down the road, these landscaping outfits, there's this flying out of the rig, this flying out of the rig, and the road. And that the county and the city ends up picking up from the state, they're flying all over the place. The banquet facilities, there are several banquet facilities that are connected with hotels and unconnected within Clark County. If you drive up to those facilities, when the people leave, all that paperwork that they get for these things they hold, a lot of it ends up out in the streets. A lot of it ends up other places. The schools, churches, are not always used for schools and church purposes. There are other people who use those facilities. I drive by them all the time in my neighborhood. There's papers scattered with the cups that you're talking about. The fast food wrappers are having meetings there. They run out and get a quick lunch at Burger King or Burgerville, come back in there, and the bags go out the windows that end up eating. I can show them to you. Same way, whether it's hotels, fast food, Costco at Costco, out by Madden Expressway, right there where Costco and Home Depot is. There's all kinds of food right there where those people pull in and out of those places. The receipts, I see the receipts, they can throw them out the window, or maybe they're in one of the car and they end up floating out hanging on the street. The retirement facilities. We got all these retirement facilities throughout Clark County, and there's a lot of those folks, the traffic, when you talk about the traffic going in there, going to the church, going to the school, after the football games, after the basketball games, go look and see how much stuff is going on in every place. So I think that there is an opportunity. Things that could be done to clean up the things, and then the other one is the chemical sprays that are going out now that are used on these lawns, especially the timber companies are using spraying throughout Clark County on the turf cuts, and that for the food, the water that you're talking about. And I don't know what kind of inspection you folks do on how many chemicals are in that water, what kind of chemicals are in there, how they're going to affect the people that drink that water eventually, the kids that. Where they drink the water, you got rid of lead, you got rid of PVCs, you got rid of carbachet, you got rid of all these different chemicals, but they're still dumping all kinds of chemicals in the water system. And the three major rivers that are dumping in Clark County, some of them are dumping into the Columbia River, they're very big polluters with chemicals that are coming from that spring.
Well, a lot of one of the biggest. You know, if you look in the urban area, one of the biggest things that creates algae and things like that are fertilizers and stuff like that.
Can't avoid using. I understand that.
It's an educated way.
No, I that certainly has to be part of it. There's a, for instance, if somebody came to the door and drive over there. Down the storm drain, over-fertilization, different farm areas, people's lawns, and things like that, adding chemicals that, since you know, are not strained out. They go right into the streams and the rivers and then and everyplace else. And those are the kind of things, particularly, I think education, really, public education has to really be a big part of this, and skin and hide and having people recognize the consequences of what they're doing on not only the environment at present, but what might be for their children and grandchildren, too. That we maintain a clean, healthy environment and a clean, healthy water system is going to be critical to our future and our children's future. And one of the, you know, and so the education programs that they've implemented also are playing a major part, and I believe that they will have an effective part in this. I mean, it can't all be, you know, reactive. We also have to be proactive, and that's the reason I did an excellent job of talking about finding a collaborative way with various industry, other governmental agencies and things like that to come up with a comprehensive plan that not only reduces the costs and the tax burden, but has a proactive implication, you know, on the future, so that we're not always, you know, in a reactive patch this, patch that mode. Yeah, we're going to have changes in regulation, and we're going to have to comply with those changes in regulation, but we have to start somewhere. Oh.
One thing with this swamp project, if we get multiple agencies involved in it, we're probably going to line ourselves up for the possibility of getting some grant money. Because this is a little bit more innovative type of thinking than has been out there. And typically, grant money likes to go to a lot of people who like to partner together and work on projects together. So, I mean, if this has any legs at all, we'll probably know pretty quickly if we do some investigation, do some interviewing, and start finding out what these barriers are and see who the active participants would be in a collaborative group working on stormwater together. Well, it would probably start, you know, I pictured in, you know, you have your existing stuff already, right? So that's kind of water into the stormwater pond, so to speak. You have your existing, I do think it is probably going to have more relationship with new, you know, well, it's you know, applying it in Highway 99, that's a very interesting thought, because applying it into Highway 99, and Highway 99 is a really interesting area, as is a lot of the Hazelville area. And that's a fairly gated community with inadequate stormwater facilities, but a lot of it drains into Vancouver Lake on one side of the hill. But the so you've got a lot of hard surface in there. You've got some area that's going to end up being have to be retrofit. There's stuff that needs to tear down. There's stuff that's being tore down today in Hazelville on Highway 99. In the future, as you look at Hazelville and Highway 99, and maybe the boundary between Vancouver and Clark County, all right, in there, there might be opportunity at that point to set there. And how do we build a nice urban, you know, stormwater facility? I'm sure there's a lot of people who would like to see the value motel turned into a stormwater facility and find it very appealing, opposed to being the value motel.
Well, there's some.
I'm just speaking honestly. So, I mean, there would be everybody people would pitch in and buy it, and build the stormwater facility if they could do it. However, it has gotten cleaned up a little bit from what it was. But But there are issues in there, and I think there's potential for partnerships and redevelopment areas, but that's essentially a new development. Those are main feed towers. You're going to have a hard time getting that underground. Ed knows that, right? You're not going to put that underground. That's going to be a warm spot, isn't it? It's a hot spot.
Things got to grow well.
So go ahead.
Yeah, so much of this comes down to what needs to be cleaned up out there. And there's two ways of looking at that. One is the way we're doing it now, and which is assuming that we all contribute to what needs to be cleaned up out there. We're all unavoidably contaminating, polluting. That's just simply, that's as long as we're alive, that's what we're doing, all of us. Yes. Yeah, but I can also imagine how we can get this wrong with good intentions. We start with, we see some paper on the side of the road and think, oh, well, in reality, the person who threw that paper is the polluter. But then we will go after and say, we'll go to the bag maker and say, we're going to charge you. Well, you didn't pollute. The guy who threw it over there. But we're going to go to the fast food place, that business that sold that bag. We're going to charge you. But they didn't do that. The polluter did. That threw it on the road. But then they're going to go to the paper mill and say, we're going to charge you. But they didn't do that. They just provided it. And they're going to go to the commercial zone that housed that business. We're going to charge that whole area zone fee. We're going to go to the neighborhoods. We're going to go to the tree men, to the tree growers who provided the timber that made that bag. And we're going to come back to, it was those tree growers that did that. In reality, we're getting further and further up the chain of command, or up to the pyramid of the original source that made the stuff. In reality, they didn't pollute it. They put that into the hands of the polluter. So we all have a responsibility to clean up and to partner with volunteers to educate so that we know all that stuff that we have in our hands doesn't end up having to be cleaned up, and we blame the wrong person. We penalize those that actually equip us with a better way with all these resources. So that's that's one dissenting voice here that says the ones that we're saying are the polluters, not the polluters. They're the providers. We, the public, are the polluters. So the more we can distribute that to Joe Citizen out there, and we're all Joe Citizens, the more we're hitting the target on the head.
Right.
All bearing a small fee rather than hitting a concentrated amount. The smaller we move up on that, the more we move up on that pyramid, the smaller group that we penalize, the more we hurt the providers and hurt the industries that drive our economy.
What's interesting...
One quick comment to you, David. Most of those smart providers that understand about the pollution, most of them biodegradable boxes, cans, newspapers, napkins, and everything else that they keep trying to use the stuff over and over and over again. They're packing the system and that. And those are the smart providers. The ones that aren't so smart that don't care, they don't care just about this part of it. So I agree with you in a certain way, but I think that everybody helps to do this process, and everybody should maybe care a little bit. If they give it a little bit, and the seven providers don't have to pay a whole lot. You're right.
I see that our director of environmental services has returned. I would encourage what conversation you missed here is to make sure that this commission understands that they've incurred and the problems that they have presented here are addressed. So I would encourage your department to provide a report on this on the grid in response to this that shows that it matters and the problems that have been addressed or have been pointed out are being addressed and what needs to be done about it. So inform our community so that they know that we're doing something about it.
Oh, wrapping up. Wrap up. We've used our time. I'd like to really appreciate the time that you gave us to sit here and present. Our intent is to improve dialogue between the Board of County Commissioners. Obviously, we work quite a bit with the Department of Environmental Services. But it's also important that, you know, when you get an idea, right, on stormwater, or you get something that you think needs to go that way, you know, you have to bear some responsibility, too, to come down and say, hey, look, Clean Water Commissioner Kim or Director Benton, throw this at the group. Okay, I want them to take a look at it. That's important, all right? And wrapping up, here's one thing that I would recommend you to do. Go out and ask how many people. Education is a huge part of this problem, part of the pollution problem in there. Just ask how many people, if they know how our stormwater system works. They think it goes and gets processed in the sewer. You'll find that the sewage treatment plant, they don't realize the way the system works. They don't have any understanding that we have a separate stormwater system. So I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.